You ready to take an offering? You got a special song? Or?
Go ahead.
Was that a yes or a no?
Yes, take the offering.
Okay. All right. If we get some help, receive God's tithes, your offerings tonight. Hallelujah. If you've got something to give tonight, God's led it in your heart, or you owe it, do it with a joyful heart. That's number one. Number two, do it with expectation that somebody's going to chase you down. That's what God's word says. Overtake you. Men will give into your bosom. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give this to you tonight. Receive it with our joy and with our thanksgiving and with our expectations. Bless the gift and the giver, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
The King of your love forever. I the King of your love forever. I the King of your love forever. I the King of your
we will sing of his love forever.
Praise the Lord. If I were doing the music, I would rewrite that and say, I will sing of.
Let's do it.
I'll sing forever the praises of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are y'all ready to study some word again tonight? Well, you're excited about it. I'll go home. I've already studied, so you need to catch up. Now, God was in this place when you walked in. You sang and welcomed him into your place. Are we ready to receive more than just his presence? Isn't it neat that God will give you his presence, which is, that's enough. But then he says, I want to give you more than that. I want to give you wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation. Amen? So that's what you came expecting tonight, right? All right. Those people that are not here tonight are going to have to catch up. Those people that have missed a few weeks, they got to catch up. I don't know who I'm talking about, but are you ready? Okay. Connie, I didn't put this down, but could you get in there Exodus 3, 13 and 14? As a review, you know, my granddaughter's got, I don't know, they had some sparkle around and it got into my stuff and I've got sparkle all over everything. So if you see anything in me, it's not makeup, it's granddaughter's. Or if you see anything left up here, I'm not shedding sparkle, it's still granddaughter's. While we're waiting for them, let's pray. Father, we give ourselves to you tonight. We sang about it, now we're doing it. We want to hear from you, see you. We need more understanding. We need more revelation. We need more power. We need more faith. As we gather together tonight in agreement, and as we touch your word as it touches us, we fully intend to be changed in Jesus' name. And the kingdom of God will profit and will receive no other report. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Hallelujah. Did we get it yet? Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. The King James says, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent I to you. Choose the change, but I'll just put it in there. I'm trying to get you guys to recognize that you are I. You're not you, and you're not me, you're I. All right. Quick explanation. I'll say it again. I've said it one other time. But if you go to the original text, you'll find there's no am in this thing. There's only I that I. That's what God said, I that I. And he said that for one reason. I said it tongue-in-cheek early on, and I'm going to say it bold. It takes two to get God's work done. It takes the I, and it takes the I junior. So he was saying right here, me and Moses are going to get this done. I that I. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I have sent I. Me and I are the same, right? Okay. Let me get. Remember that I, literally translated here, means past, present, and future. No tense. It's spirit, the breath. What God has always wanted for us is to be one with Him. Anybody disagree with that? His whole goal ever since the garden was to be one with Him. We did the separation, and if we will come back, we will be one with Him. It's very simple. I have to know that I have God. God has me. I have His law and His contract. I have His Word, and I have His Spirit. How much more do I need? To be one with Him, I got to know Him. Y'all agree with that? I've got to know it in a biblical sense also. I've got to have an intimate relationship with Him. I must know what He wants and what He says. How can I ever say to you, God has sent me to you, if I don't know what God has said? It'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? I must know that we live and move and have our being for one purpose, and that's to do His will. You have to have His mind, which would eliminate all fear. Can't have God's mind and have fear. I can't be afraid for tomorrow because God isn't. So if I have any fear about tomorrow, I don't have the mind of Christ in the situation. I have to be able to say that God says or I am says. I have to know what He says. I must know that He says I am healed, I am saved, I am prosperous, I am powerful. I am more than anything that comes against me. I have to know that He said that about me, therefore I can say it about me. The I am said it about me, so I can say I am. And the devil hears one voice. All opposition hears one voice. They don't hear mine and God's. Because when I say I am speaking the voice of God. We have to know there's no tense. In the English language, am is a tense. That's why God said I, because it covered everything from creation until past, till there's no more earth. I have to know that everything He said is already finished. It's not to come to pass. The biggest fallacy we have in teaching in the church is that we teach that God one day will do something, when in reality He did it before the foundations of the earth. It's already done. He's waiting for you to catch up. Amen? All right, let me flip over. We'll get started for tonight. That was a real quick review. All right, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, or you can read. Last week I said the eyes have it. This is number 4, part 4, and it's, who do you say that I am? I'm going to try to get a little ways. I don't know how far tonight because I got a lot of scripture to read you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Where am I? I want to know where am I in our... Yeah, where do I stand? If He walked in here right now and asked me, who do you say that I am? I've got to know what to say. This is not about Moses. This is about you and I. Okay. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I is the son of who? Okay, are you a son of man? So we're in the same category, right? Okay. Verse 14. He's asking what men say. I'm going to show you what men say. Most understand, men don't know what they're talking about. The first thing you understand is that 99% of the entire world does not know what they're talking about. If you don't like that figure, then don't go any less than 50%. But I'm not going with you. It's less than that. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now look, the world, men of this world, people that answer, will never say now. They'll always point to something past. They locked onto something that they were familiar with, even though it was already gone. All right, let's go to the next verse 15. He said to them, I don't care about what they say. Well, who do you say that I am? Right now, standing right here, what do you call me? Who do you say that I am? Next verse. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the anointed one, Son of God." Anybody in here fit that description? Anybody in here anointed? Anybody in here Son of God? I keep bringing these things up to you to show that God doesn't want this large separation between you and Him. He wants you to be the heir, led by the Spirit, the only way to become the heir, and He wants you to say what He said, so the enemy is so confused he can't figure out who God really is. He thinks he's talking to Him. Who do you say you are? Who do you say He is? Go to the next one. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." But my Father who is in heaven. What I'm trying to introduce you in this series is something that flesh and blood cannot introduce. Only by the Father God are you going to get this. And it's only by His Spirit that you're going to get a hold of this and do some things that you could never do in the past. Let's go to the next one. "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Boy, that's something. I'm stopping right here. I'm going to remind you of something, that this did not really floor Peter, that his name was Peter. The reason I want you to understand that is this is not the emphasis. His name, Peter, is not the emphasis here. Okay, "and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock." On what rock? It's not Peter. Can you go back one scripture? And I'm going to show you the rock. All right. Maybe one more. I should have looked at my notes here. Yeah. Here's the rock that Jesus is talking about right here. What is the rock? The rock is, who do you say that I am? And the church will be built on who you say you are and He is. Here's the truth. You are the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God, and so are you. And when we get this down, God can build His church. This is the rock that's going to be built on. All right, go ahead. What is it? We're up to 17 or 18? Okay. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell, shall not prevail against it." Maybe not. Shall not. Now, understand, God does not own a calendar and He does not own a watch. And all of this was accomplished before the foundations of the earth. So what He's saying is the gates of hell cannot now or ever prevail against this rock that I gave you, which is I am that I am. All right, verse 19. I think there's another one in there. Yeah. "And if you get this down..." This is the reason I want you to understand this. And this is it right here. "If you get this down, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, who has the keys? Why does the enemy always tell you he's got them? He's hoping you'll believe. He's hoping that your church will be established on a different rock. There's no other rock. There's one. And here it is. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, in heaven." Now let me, a little footnote here. No, I'm going to finish. "And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Do you know what kind of powerful statement that just said? Now, I've told you, and I'm going to reiterate, when the Bible talks about forgiveness, if you will go to the original language, it says loose. You don't have the right to forgive because the debt was never owed to you. You didn't sin. It wasn't committed against you. Only God can forgive. But you can loose. Now, look at this again. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Did you know what I'm afraid of? I'm not afraid of anything, but I want to just give you a little light on something that I'm concerned about. Too many people in the church have too many people bound. And they're bound in heaven. God can't even do what He wants to do because we won't do what we're supposed to do. We can literally get in the way of somebody's salvation, in the way of somebody's healing, in the way of prosperity, in the way of the will of God because we will not loosen. We won't say, God, I'm led by Your Spirit, not mine. That thing that the enemy's trying to get me to remember, I will remember it no more. Now listen, if I am that I am really works here, the minute I say I will remember it against that person no more, they're loosed in heaven because we already know what God wants to do. Let me take it one step further. Then when that person is visited by the Holy Spirit for repentance' sake, they're loosed. They may not even know what they're repenting for. I know a lot of people that got saved, they didn't even know they got saved. They just went down because something in them led them down to the front. Said, I don't know what I'm doing here, but yeah. That's called loosed. You know what else it does? It looses you. When you lose somebody else, you're loosed to receive without work. If you're going to make somebody else work for their forgiveness, then God's going to make you work for your benefits. Let's loose them so you get unearned income, unearned benefits. Well, how did I earn them? I loosed it. And I've learned that whatever I speak, whatever I bind, whatever I loose, well, maybe some of us are having financial problems because we haven't loosed the finances. How do you not loose your finances? You say, if I don't go to work tomorrow, I won't have any income. You just bound it. Did you know you just laid the law down how you're going to get money? When the Bible says if you'll tithe, somebody will chase you down and press down, shaking together, running over, will men give to you. And instead of us leaning on the truth, we make up our own. I can't ever speak or sing or anything like that because I did this or I haven't done this. Oh, you never did anything worth anything anyway. God only is the one that's ever done anything worth anything. And if you don't get on that side, you'll never be worth anything. I'm worth a lot of money because I'm in Him. I mean money. I'm worth a lot, forget the money, because I'm in Him. Money doesn't make me worth anything. Only to the IRS. And all right. Now I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What I would ask you to do tonight is repent and loose any thoughts that you have to the mind of Christ. Loose them. Loose how you've held yourself down, how you've allowed others to hold you down. Loose yourself in the fact that you can't quote the King James Version of the Bible 9,000 words a minute. Who gives a flip? God will speak to you better if you'll let Him say, who gives a flip once in a while? It may not be written there, but He's got it. He's got it. And He wants to give it to you. Don't worry about it. Huh? That's in His vocabulary. Don't worry about it. Loose yourself into that kind of freedom. All right. I want to show you something. I'm going to hit it again. What we've got to do if we want this to work is we've got to get tents out of the way. I've covered this a little bit in the last couple of weeks. I want to hit it again. You were forgiven. Do you understand that you were forgiven before Jesus died on the cross? You were forgiven of a sin you hadn't yet committed before the foundations of the earth. God saw the sin, made a provision, and just asked you to take advantage of His provision. Well, how did that happen? Don't be dumb. He can't tell you that. We're not capable of that. We just have to receive a lot of things by faith. If we're not required to receive some things by faith, then we cannot please God. So don't ever think you're going to understand all this. It will not ever be until you're sitting with God face to face. You can get more revelation, but you will not get it all. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If I talk about myself, if I build myself up, if I tell you how important I am, then I'm telling you really how unimportant I am. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that He is your God." Now listen, let's stop for a second. If you really believe that your Father is honoring you, then you must also believe that He's honoring me. Or let me say it another way. If you believe that God's honoring me, you must believe He's honoring you. He's not a respecter of persons, right? Okay. It says, "Father, it is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that He is your God." Are you saying that you and I have the same God? Well, that was sure quiet. Maybe you're not sure I'm serving your God. Well, then you got a problem. Or I got one. I don't want to be with you. All right, go to the next verse. I don't need to dwell on that. "Yet you have not known Him, but I know Him." Why would He say that? Because we weren't serving the same God. "But I know Him, and if I say..." Who? If I say? Or I could say, "If I am, say..." "If I say I do not know Him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I keep His I word." Amen? Verse 56. "And this Abraham you keep talking about, that Abraham, your father Abraham, rejoiced to see my day." Are you hearing me? Here's where religion goes down the tube. That's what Jesus is. Jesus hates religion. He hates it. He died to get rid of it. And He's saying, "You guys are depending on Abraham, and Abraham never did anything for you. So you're not serving the God I am, because I know who did for me." All right. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see this day, and he saw it and was glad." Verse 57. "Then the Jews..." Then those that didn't believe in Jesus said to Him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you say you've seen Abraham?" Now they're trying to believe by math. Now come on, let's don't nod too freely, because we get in that same boat. We look at our bank account and there's $1,500 worth of bills and we got $1,000 and we say, "It can't be done," and that's not what God said. He says you have more than enough. Verse 58. "Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham..." What does that say? "Was I..." Oh, no. That's terrible English. That doesn't fit. You know why it was put there? So you got to throw out what you understand. You can't be a was and an I am at the same time. You can be an I was, but you can't be an I am. I had somebody tell me today, "I don't care what it says, I knew that already." I said, "Then you're not having the problem I have with an English language. I'm having to learn some things because when I listen to you, I listen. And tense is part of the listening process. I want to know what you believe, what you're saying. I'm trying my best." And then I go to the scripture and it says... Now, what does it say? "I say to you, before Abraham was, I..." You can't put "was" in there and make any sense out of this. If you got me on any of this, you go to your concordance and you check and you'll see "was" is a 9999. That means added for clarity. Okay? "Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Why did He say that? Why did I bring it up tonight? Listen, it's just like me saying, but in 1920, I was. You're going to look at me and say, no. No, your dad was born in 1919. You couldn't have been here in 1912. Well, I could have, but I wasn't. Let's go to the next verse. Then they took up stones to throw at him. I don't understand what you're saying, so I'm going to kill you. Come on, that's kind of the way we operate. And if I don't agree with what you say, I may kill you. That's where we have to go by faith. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. He hid himself in the middle of them. He hid himself in the middle of them, walked right out of the middle of them in the temple, and so passed by. Why? That is the provision of God. When you walk in the provision of God, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You let God figure out how it's going to work. You just know that in no place, no time, past, present, or future, are you in any danger. All right. That is, if you believe I am that I am. Let's go back. Who do you say God is? Who do you say God is? Let me give you a couple of instances of things that we say that we ought to quit doing. Do you believe God can heal? Wrong answer. Because you put a tense. I put a tense in there and you'd agree with the tense. You understand what I'm saying? If we're going to believe that I'm healed, I can't put in there, He can heal. I'm going to lay hands on you and God will heal you. No. No, it's already done. I may agree with it, but it's finished. That's what Jesus said. It is finished. Well, I'm going to pray and God's going to send money. Wrong. Wrong. You put a tense in there. You took away the fact that God saw this before the foundation of the earth and provided for it. When you said, maybe, can, will. No. You're taking it away from Him. You're not, let me even get stronger. You're not agreeing with I am. You are saying what you're saying. You're not saying what He said. So the I am that I am is not in agreement. It's not cooperating. Only if I'm saying what God says is I am that I am working. Only if I'm led by the Spirit to say that am I an heir. Am I an heir of God? Joint. In. Seated. With. Now. Aha. I'm going to introduce to you the formula for being an I am junior. I just gave you the first part. You have to stop tensing. You are never going to speak the Word of God and have it work for you if you put a will, can, might in there. John chapter 14, verse 5. John chapter 14, verse 5. Let's read carefully. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way if you're going? Next verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way. And by the way, I want you to know the way. Therefore, there's two I's in the way. All right? I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's go to the next one. I'm going to be light on you. If you had known me, Whoa. These are just his disciples. I want to get something across to you. Just because you're here in church, just because you call yourself a disciple, just because you give tithe, just because you do, you obey all the laws that you know of, doesn't mean you know him. Because I got some news for you. When you get to really knowing God, you break some of the rules. Because he asked you to once in a while. You forget he's the rule. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, life, and nothing else matters but what he wants. Okay. And from now on, you would have known my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. And so what are we to say? If you know me, you know my Father. Isn't Jesus your hero? You want to do everything like he does? So we're going to say, if you know me, you know God. Oh, are you that bold? And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Why? Because I told you. You know me, you know him. You've seen me, you've seen him. Guys, that goes for you too. And if we don't join in with this, if we don't get in agreement with this, we're never going to accomplish the thing that God wants us to accomplish. Because we're going to be lesser than. God doesn't use lesser than vessels. He uses purified, cleaned up, beautiful vessels. Well, I don't feel that way. Shut up. Your feelings make no difference. You read the Word of God and let that Word tell you who you are. And then you know Him. He makes you feel that way because you know Him. My relationship with my wife teaches me so much about relationship with God. I mean, he has me do strange things so that I'll understand something. But the other night, we're tired, she's tired, you know. And I lay down in bed, and I look over at her, and boom! And I jump up out of that bed, and I go over there. I got this, the last time we were in, you'll find this cool, we were in Denver, and I was in a casino. I don't gamble. Somebody else was gambling. I went to the gift shop and I looked around. I'm not against gambling. I just don't think it's a gamble. I think it's a sure loss. So I don't participate. But there was this little sculpture that had been hand-blown glass, a little dove bird. I don't care about the bird. It was all pretty. But it was engraved in that back. And I ran over and I took that to her. I held it in her face. She said, I don't have my glasses on. I can't remember what that says. I said, it says this, my wife, I fall in love with her again every time I see her. You girls, you didn't say aw. I did that because that was the truth. I bought it because of the truth, and I was reminded of it. Now, if I can love my wife that way, how does God love me? How much? And how hard does he try to tell me? What we're going through right now, he's trying very hard to get us to understand how much he not only loves us, but respects and honors and uses. I got a little goofy last Wednesday, and I'm going to say it again. God is not very useful without us. If I'm his heir, I'm the one that's supposed to take over and accomplish the things he wants accomplished. And if I don't do that, I'm already disobeying God. Does that make sense? If I'm not stepping up into the authority and to the power in the name that I'm supposed to receive, I'm already disobeying God. So when I walk as a weak vessel, I'm disobedient to the Word of God. Do I need to say that again? If I am walking, operating as a weak vessel, a weak child, a weak heir, then I am disobeying the Word of God. I am to live and move and have my being in him, not in how I think it should be. God is not a weak vessel. God is not a weak person. If I choose to be that, I do it against his will. I'll go further than that. If you don't believe you can lay hands on the sick and they recover, you are disobedient to God. I love him. I don't want to disobey him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to fail him. I want him to run every once in a while, get that little sign and stick it in my face and tell me how much he loves me, because he does that. I didn't think of those good things. He did. All right, where'd that scripture go? I forget which one we were. Verse 7. All right, let's go to verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And is it sufficient for us? Now, this guy's a goof. Hey, everybody in here has been a goof. If we need, there is no dumb questions except the one you didn't ask, right? So I'm not going to look down on Philip. I think it's a goofy question, but I'm not going to look down on him. I bet you I've asked a couple. I hope God don't rewind them here somewhere. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? They want to see the Father. He said, I'm standing right here. Maybe God is not quite as far up as we act, we think and act. Maybe He's within touching distance. Maybe it's visual, I can see. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I don't know, maybe we're going to get asked that one day and we're going to have to answer this. Sometimes we're accountable for what we understand. Somebody dances in here and says, show me the Father. What do you mean? I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And let me go one step further. If I would be ashamed to say that, I need to change my ways. I don't need somebody seeing me something that you and I both know the Father wouldn't do. I told my kids, I tell my grandkids, if you don't hear me say it, you don't say it. I don't care what words you learn new. If you haven't heard me say it, you don't say it. All right. All right, here's a good statement for us to say. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? I'll ask you that. You need to ask me that. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Now we've covered two things. One, if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm going to speak by the Spirit. And when I says through I, it's done, it's finished, then God Himself does the work. I am not required, I am not allowed to do the work, because then I wouldn't say I don't speak with my own authority. I'd get the fat head. One day, we're going to learn something. That God wants everybody saved, but you're not going to save everybody. He wants everybody healed, but you're not going to do everybody. Well, what are you getting at? God's got a way of leveling the playing field, keeping our head down from being too big. And He says, be led by the Spirit. What does that mean? That means sometime somebody's going to say, oh, I have a pain here, and God's not going to tell you to touch it, and you don't touch it. That's what that means. Why? Because He may have somebody else lined up to do that. He may not want you to heal everybody. Jesus did that. You're just administering the information. You can call it laying on of hands if you want to, but there's nothing powerful about your hands. It's the obedience of laying on hands that causes the work to be done. All right. Let's go to the next one. Believe me, do you believe me? That I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Whoo, now we've just taken a step. I don't want to be in the first part of this, I want to be in the second. I mean, I want to be in both of them. I want to be able to say to somebody, look, you don't have to believe that God's in me. Just, how about the works that I've done? How about the way that I speak? How about the way that I live? Does that remind you of the Father at all? Or do you think that I'm doing this all on my own? Do you think the last person that I prayed with and they got saved and laid hands on, they got healed, or God told me to give them $300 and I did it? Do you think that's the way man does it, or do you think that's the way the Father is? That's the Father I want you to see. God is going to ask you to do some things that are totally against your understanding, or it's not God. I can give you a dozen experiences of how God... I told somebody today, after one Wednesday night service in the church in Denver, I was exhausted and sitting on the platform. Platform's about this low here. I could get up on it and sit. And about everybody had gone. And I had one... I know this church doesn't have any, but I had one honorary church member that was a wacko. He was a gun dealer. He was wild, crazy. I've seen him stick $20 bills down customers' throats. He was asking to be killed. Let's be honest with you. He was asking to be killed. I'd worked with him for years, and he was having an argument with the assistant pastor. And I knew this guy was on probation. I mean, serious stuff. And I said to him, I said, "Hey, Larry, settle down, man. The last thing you need is to have trouble with the police again." He got irate. And he came over and started shoving me like this with his chest. Called me a legalistic bastard. Now, if you know anything about me, that is not my description. I hate law worse than anything in the world. It kills. It takes away life. And so I thought, well, okay. Now, I don't know if my wife's ever seen me do this before, but I took my glasses and I threw them on the stage and I walked up and I said, "You want to go? Let's go. You're not going to push me around." Well, fortunately, his son tackled him and wrestled him and drug him out the back before the police were called. This is the same guy that got up in my... In the middle of a really good service, or the beginning of it, and said, "I want you to pray for so-and-so because I found out he's having an affair with my wife, and if he doesn't die, I'm going to kill him." You haven't had that happen here, have you? And God turned it around. People got saved and healed. I don't have the slightest. I got to get that tape. I want to know what I said. It's amazing. And I was mad at God when it happened. I was mad at God because I told God, "This is not the way you do church." And I was mocking Philip a while ago. God used the situation. He got mad and he never came back. And that was just the tip of the iceberg of the stuff I had been through with him. He'd formed a militia and he was going to have me lead one of the armies against the government and blow up IRS buildings. And the guy was woo-hoo. We were in one of these casinos one night. I'm headed towards the crab. That's why I went up there. You head towards the crab. The place where they have the crab. All you can eat. Woo-hoo. Anyway. And I was going down this aisle and somebody tapped me on the shoulder. Now, I was a legalistic bastard, remember? And I turned around and there was Larry. And his face was clean and he was smiling. He looked brighter than I've seen him in a long time. "Well, hello, Larry. What are you doing?" Didn't know if we were going to fight or talk or what, but I'm game. I don't care. And we talked for a while. I was cordial to him. Remember, he's loosed. I can't be uncordial or unfriendly or unforgiving if I've already loosed it all, right? I did that. And he pulled me to one side and he said, "Look, man, I've lost my job, I've lost my wife, and I've lost everything in the world." He said, "My bills are coming due, I'm going to turn my lights off. Could you loan me some money?" "No, I can't." "How much do you need?" $300. So I reached in my pocket and I pulled out $300 and I gave it to him. Then don't pay me back. Don't pay me back. If you want to give money to the church, that's fine, but don't pay me back. Who was getting the lesson here? Both of you? I think you're right. I don't know if he caught the lesson, but I did. See, sometimes you may be asked to loose or forgive, but then you may be asked to do what God does. Because, man, how many times have sinners gone directly, affronted him, stolen from him, lied to him, and then he gives his only begotten son. And he gives freedom. And he gives the word. And he gives prosperity. And he gives power and authority over all sickness and disease. He gives and gives and gives to those who do not deserve. Well, I have to learn. Well, why not you? Why don't you just expect to learn through all this junk? I didn't ask you if you wanted to. I said expect it. See, sometimes I hear what you're thinking. Go ahead. Let's get to that next one. That's just a free side trip there. Y'all keeping track of where I was? Ah, here's the good one. Here's not only what's available, but where we're missing it. Okay? Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Now, let's stop for just a second. This is some of this stuff that we need to tighten up on a little bit. Do you think the devil believes in God? Do you think the devil believes in Jesus? So this doesn't apply to whoever believes. We're talking something else here. Remember, we've already covered, you've got to know me. I've got to know him. There's a lot of things we're covering here. Don't stumble on this one. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, you got to believe the works that I do. You got to believe me, the works that I do, the things that I say. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do because I go to the Father. Are you I? Or is just Jesus I? Is he the only begotten Son? Or was he the only begotten Son for a season? He was the first begotten, but he was not the only begotten. So this, Jesus is going to go to the Father, and guess what? You're going to do these works because I go to the Father. I believed, I listened, I learned, I gave myself, I yielded myself, I became an heir, I'm led by the Spirit. Now I can do the works that Jesus did. And Jesus himself said, when you hit this point, you'll do greater works than I did. Does anybody in here, have they ever prayed to God that I want to do greater things than Jesus did? Well, that's what God wants. And that's what your brother Jesus wants, or your husband. Let's go to the next one. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Are you a son? Oh, is Jesus the Son? Are you one in Christ Jesus? Then God's going to get the glory, and so are you. But when you get it, you say, it's not I, it's not me, it's him who sent me. All right, verse 14, I think. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Could it be that simple? Well, I don't know. The Bible says unless you become as a little child, you'll never understand these things. So I guess it's not too complicated. Maybe the problem is we want it to be complicated. We want to work hard. We want to sweat drops of blood, even though somebody else has already done that. We want to worry. We want to stay awake half the night. We want to wake up in cold sweats. None of that's required. All you have to believe is that I am sent me. All right, let's go one step further in the reasons we don't see these signs and wonders. John chapter 8, verse 30. And he spoke these words. Many believed in him. Many didn't. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, just because you were once a Jew don't mean you have to stay there. Let me say another way. Just because you used to not believe in the Messiah, you can now. You can be delivered from that nonsense. You can be delivered from that old religious, and you're okay. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in me, if you abide, what does that mean? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That's you live there. If you abide by them, if you obey them, if you listen to them, you make them your life. Verse 32. When you do that, then you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. I was born and raised in the church. I was saved when I was 5 years old. I was baptized the next year. I can remember the time and the day. You want me to tell you when? No. I can see in your face you're not it. I don't want to know what happened way back there. I want to know what happened this morning, this evening. That's what I want to know about you. Life in that more abundantly, not history in that more abundantly. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have, look at this, and never been in bondage. What was Moses sent for? They were in bondage. This is deception at its height. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make me free? This is going to take a little bit more work. Next verse. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, without hesitation, without doubt and without fear, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. That includes those people that believe that I must sin every day in thought, word, and deed. It includes those people that say I can sin and go ask somebody to take care of me. And it includes those people that says, I have never sinned. Who, there's a lot of doo-doo out there. If you sin, you're a slave of sin. Next verse. By the way, I'll keep moving. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. Let me say it another way. If you think it's all right to sin, don't expect to live in the house. Some parents need to say that. But a son abides forever. Now, maybe signs and wonders don't follow because we're not yet the son we're supposed to be. We think that, well, here's the truth. And I've heard people say this. I don't make it up. I can go ahead and do it, and I'll just ask for forgiveness. And they believe that. And then they can't figure out why their prayers don't get answered. That is the Holy Spirit talking to you, telling you not to do it. And you're saying, pfft. And he don't take that very well. Next verse. Therefore, if the Son, not Abraham, not something you're believing in, not religion, not your denomination, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. How many in here are Abraham's descendants? You know how I know you are? Because he was Noah's descendant. And there wasn't anybody else but Noah. So whatever Noah was, we are. There is no other bloodline. There's only one. If you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. If word has no place in you, you will never see signs and wonders. And you know what? I'm going to go one step further. You will never see them if you see them. You can see the dead raised and you will come up with some lame brain excuse how that happened. Verse 38. I speak what I have seen with my Father and you do what you have seen with your Father. You know what a lot of us have problems with? Even our physical. We do what we've seen our physical father do. And yet we're supposed to be saved from that. I don't want to dwell there. Verse 39. They answered him and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So somebody's taking liberty even under this Abraham religion. They're not doing what Abraham told them, taught them to do. Next verse. But now you seek to kill me, A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. All right. If somebody didn't want to kill you, you must not be doing the works of God. Now, come on, let's get real. If somebody's not wanting to stone you, not wanting to curse you, not wanting you out of town, you are not speaking the mind of God. Don't be afraid because you've got this umbrella over you. That's called God's. You're under His wing. You know what I mean? You're in Him, and nobody can kill God. If somebody don't like you, then you're not doing the works that Jesus did even then, even that far. All right, verse 41. Y'all not listening. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Now you've got two people here, Jesus and the descendants of Abraham. Both of them are saying, God is our Father. One of them is doing deeds that aren't of the Father, and one of them is. But they're both claiming the same Father. Now this isn't news, guys. This is, the church is full of it, the world is full of it. There, did you know that everybody in the world is going to heaven? You don't believe it, you ask them. Most of them are members of a church. You can ask them, they'll tell you. Most of them have been saved, whatever that means. You can tell. I mean, they'll tell you that. I mean, I went to church Easter 2 years ago. I got to be saved. Oh, that's what Jesus did, right? He went to church. How often did Jesus go to church? The Bible says He was in the temple daily. Maybe we got some catching up to do. You do the deeds of your father. Then they were said to Him, we are not born of fornication. That means we've not been born in sin, so we have nothing to be saved from. There are still people here on this earth that say the same thing today, and they are not going to make it unless they make it through Jesus Christ. All right, next verse. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. If God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Anybody in here bold enough to say that? You should be. It's the truth. Nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. I am that I am. I am come from the One who has sent me to you. And He's getting comfortable with this. Jesus is opening, He's reintroducing, let's put it that way. He's reintroducing what Moses learned. Jesus learned. When? See, I'm putting tense on it again. You have a hard time doing that. Moses and Jesus learned before the foundations of the earth. When are we going to learn to get that down? When am I going to learn to get that down? Verse 43. Here's the key. Why do you not understand my speech? Here's the reason. Because you're not able to listen to my word. You know why you're not understanding what I'm saying? Because you're not listening. That's what he said. Let me say something else he's saying. I'm just getting tired of talking to you. The reason that we don't operate in the I am realm is because we refuse to listen. Easily listen and receive. Repent, receive what God is speaking to us. See, because this is whatever the best dessert that you could ever imagine. This is better than that. And we should chomp down on it, chew it up, and swallow it like we've never had a dessert like this before. This is like honey to lips. Because what Jesus is doing, what God is doing, is throwing doors open that we've never seen open before. Telling you who you are when the doors come open. You're standing there. He's trying to empower you. He's trying to give you revelation that you've never had before. That's what He's doing for me. And I'm having a little hard time swallowing it, but I'm going to swallow this one. Hook, line, and sinker if I can get it in. If I can get it down, I'm taking the whole thing. I want signs and wonders to follow because that's what God wants. Let's go to 44. If you don't love me, I'm going to take this one step further. If you don't agree with me, you're of your father the devil. You know why I can say that? Because Jesus said it. He wasn't mean. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. All right, we have to stand in the truth. Against what? Against the murderer. Against his allies, those people that come against the Word of God. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, which is lie. For he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. All right, we've got two choices. We can take the father of all truths, and we can take the father of all lies, and there is no middle ground. One, signs and wonders will follow. The other, signs and wonders will follow. You ain't going to like those signs and wonders. It's death and destruction. That's what comes from it. Verse 45. I'm trying to get finished here. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Why do you not believe me? Because you've never seen the truth before. And the truth is coming out, and your father doesn't want you to understand that. Your father, the devil, doesn't want you to understand your father, the truth. So when I sit here and tell you the truth, then you must love me. Because you and I serve the same God. And you will never say what he says is crazy. Because we're serving the same God. Now if I tell you some crazy thing that's totally against the Word, then I've got a different... I'm listening to another voice, and I shouldn't do that. All right, verse 46. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? All right, let's just stop for a second and say this. If you don't believe what I'm telling you tonight, you're calling me a sinner because I'm lying to you. Well, Stan, you're that sure? Yeah, I'm that sure. I don't know if I've ever been anything more sure in my life than I am that I am has sent me to you. What for? Not my business. His business. But he's got a reason. He's going to profit from it. Do you agree that he's going to profit from it? And he's going to profit from you living and moving and having your being here, right? Verse 47. He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Oh my goodness. Jesus can get straight sometimes, can't he? I'm going to speak some word to you. If you hear it, you're of God. If you don't, you're not of God. You know something? Maybe he learned something. Maybe he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that by the Spirit he could say these things, and it was exactly what needed to be said. Not just what he wanted to say, but it needed to be said. Amen? It's quiet in here. My goodness. Do you think that what I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is of the Spirit? Or do you think it's my flesh? Is your flesh reacting just a little bit? No, I wish it were. I wish I was irritating you just a little bit. I want you to get a little bit of... I'd like to see the seat squirm just a little bit and say, while you're thinking about it. You don't have to swallow everything you first hear it. But you got to meditate. You got to meditate. If you listen to your flesh, you're going to suffer. When you hear the truth, you'll prosper. You'll do the things that Jesus did even more. If we listen by the Spirit of God, we will know the truth, and we will do the works of truth, and God will be revealed. That's all I can handle tonight. You can say that if you want to. That's all I can handle tonight. The I Am that sent me here wants you to believe what we're studying. And not just put it away, write it plaques on the wall. Put it by you. No, no. He wants you to live and move and have your being for this purpose. Can I just say one more thing? Somebody's life is depending upon you believing what I'm teaching. Somebody's life. Just like Jesus had people's lives depending that on what he said and how he said it, it's the same thing with you. He doesn't need soft Christians. He needs bold ones. He doesn't need people to throw a little fire for effects. If I say this to you, what will you say? He doesn't need you saying, well, that's a good point. No. If it's not a good point, you just say, that stinks. Your father's the devil. Well, you work that out with fear and trembling. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with eternal spirits and souls. You understand? But if the Holy Spirit of the living God leads you into a fight, you fight like a winner. You get shoulders back and I don't care what's going to happen here tonight or tomorrow or the next day, I win. Because I read the back of the book. I came from the front and I know the back and I know everything in between. Boy, I'm smart. You have the mind of Christ? Then don't ever let anybody tell you you don't in any form or fashion. You don't make mistakes. You don't make mistakes. Amen? You don't make mistakes. Your paths are directed. Your steps are ordered. If you say, I made a mistake, you say, oops, sorry, God, let's do it better next time. And the mistakes become profit to the kingdom. Amen? Stand with me. Praise you, Lord. There's none like Him. Guess what? There's none like me. I think I can get votes on that one. Can you say there's none like Him? Then can you say there's none like me? I'm special. You say it, I'm special. Because God says so. I hold the keys to the kingdom. Say it, I hold the keys to the kingdom. And I'm going to open it up to some people. As it's open to me. Amen. Amen. And you're not going to work at this. God never asked you to work. He just said, abide in my word. Amen? You know what? I'm most excited about this. I don't know when it's going to end, but I'm most excited about what He's going to do with it. He is not wasting His time. He's not wasting yours. Amen? He's pumping you up for a reason. You Schwarzeneggers of the Spirit, you're getting pumped up. Amen? All hearts clear? If not, talk to God. He'll get you answered. Father, we thank You for Your presence here tonight. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your spirit. We thank You for the open ears and the open hearts that have now been penetrated. We seal this word in these hearts tonight, not for our own benefit, but for Yours and Yours alone. You will receive all the glory for the benefit that is going to come and be accomplished by the power and the magnificent works and wonders at the hands of Your people. You're going to receive glory. This city is going to know You through us. In Jesus' name, we'll take no other report. We prosper, we're in health, we're healed. And anything that says any different is a lie. And the father of lies gets blamed for it. We send it back to him as a curse. We walk, live, move, and have our being in You. And we thank You for that. We say yes, sir, and amen. And it is finished. And everybody agrees, says amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all dismissed.
Take this life, break inside and steal all my shame.